Please take a look in Bamidbar, Perak Bet. Six parashim. And Perak Bet, you take a look at the beginning, Balak, and by the way, this entire parsha is off kilter from the rest of the Torah. The Gemara Bava Basra, which talks about the Seder HaKetuvim, and the Machabre HaKetuvim, famous bright about what's the proper order of books in Tanakh and who wrote each book in Tanakh. It says, Moshe Katav Sifro Uparshat Bilam V'Sefer Iyov. Right. So what's Sifro? What do we think that means?
Torah.
Iyov, so that Gemara then goes on for two daf discussion about who wrote Iyov, when did Iyov live, did Iyov live, right? And then Parshat Bilam is there. What's Parshat Bilam? So there's a machlok rishonim. Does it mean that there was some other book called Parshat Bilam that we don't have, that Moshe wrote? Or does it mean it's referring to the story of Bilam? Why would it refer to the story of Bilam when we already have the Kol HaTorah? So how is Parshat Balak, how is this Parsha different than every other Parsha in the Torah? And I'll give you a hint. I'm from L.A. That doesn't help. I'm from Hollywood. That helps a little bit more. Okay? Do you guys know what this is? What?
Movie.
Yeah. Okay. This is the director, right? The director is looking through the camera. What's he seeing? So please tell me, who is the camera on in Chumash?
Balak.
From the beginning.
Balak.
What?
In the whole Torah and his question?
The whole Torah.
Hashem?
The answer is the camera's never on Hashem. The camera's always on one individual character.
Hashem.
Right? Adam, maybe Cain, maybe Noah, right? Avram. Right? Then there's a slight off camera with Lot. Then there's Yitzchak a little bit. I don't get much camera time. I'm not happy about that. So you guys are Yitzchak. Right? Yaakov. Then we have a split screen for a little while, which is Yaakov and Yosef. And Canaan and Mitzrayim. And then the camera stays on Moshe, Paro, and then Bnei Yisrael. Stays on Bnei Yisrael the whole time. Bnei Yisrael are in the foreground the whole time. And the background you have, Amalek, yeah, various characters showing up, there's things showing up, Nachashim showing up, Bnei Yisrael's in the foreground. Please tell me about Parshat Balak. I assume you did Shnai Mikra Bechatar, go be familiar with the Parsha. Right? Tell me, who's in Parshat Balak?
Balak.
He has Balak and Bilam, and a donkey, and a couple kids, and a bunch of ministers. And Bnei Yisrael are not there. So that's how some explain why the Gemara says Sifro Parshat Bilam, because Parshat Bilam stands out as unique in the Torah as the only Parsha in which Bnei Yisrael are not in the foreground, they're in the background. And the central character is somebody who's an enemy, who's a villain. Only two villains. Okay, good. So now, what is Balak's problem? We're just going to talk through the beginning of the Parsha. What's Balak's problem?
He's scared they're going to wipe him out.
He's scared that who's going to wipe him out?
Bnei Yisrael.
Because where's Bnei Yisrael camped?
Muli, crossman.
All right, so here's Moav. Let's try to do this. Okay. Yes. All right. Here's the Jordan River. Okay. There's Dead Sea down here. Moab's here. Bnei Israel have done this and have camped here. They've gone around Moab. Moab's in this country, including some hill country. They see Bnei Israel camped down here. They don't know that Bnei Israel are not allowed to go to war against them and not allowed to take their land. And Bnei Israel is just going to cross over. They don't know that. You got a huge army massed underneath you. You're afraid of them. So Balak wants to beat them. Balak can't beat them with numbers because they're huge. Balak, plus they've just beaten up Sihon and Og, who beat up Moab. So imagine the you know, A is greater than B and B is greater than C. I'm dead. So Balak pulls out another trick from his arsenal. Kind of a last-ditch effort. Which is to try to use some magic. Right? So he summons Bilam. Where does Bilam live, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's take a look. Okay, take a look at Pasuk Hey. Vayishlach malachim el Bilam ben Beor Petorah. He lives in a place called Petor. I don't know where Petor is. You don't know where Petor is. We're all on the same page. Asher al nahar eretz bnei amor likrolo. So what's Hanahar in Tanakh?
River.
Yeah, good. Which river is the river? In America, you say the river, you mean the Mississippi. South America, you mean the Amazon. What's the river in Tanakh?
The Yarden.
The Yarden's never called a river. What's it called?
The Yarden.
It's never called a river.
It's the Nile.
Huh? What's the Nile called?
Not cross.
The Yor. Or Nahal Mitzrayim, maybe. Nahar Mitzrayim. Right? And Nahar is the Euphrates. Right? Which means he's up near the Euphrates, which puts him up in northern Syria. How do I actually know that? Because a little later on in his poetry, he's going to say, "Min Aram yancheni Balak melech Moab." Aram, Balak summoned me from Aram. Aram is Syria. So he's up north there in Avram's territory, where Avram came from. Okay. So Hineyam yatzam mitzoy nechizatin aretz v'yishig muli. So I want you to come. Which, by the way, means when you read this parsha, you got to pay attention that all of these delegations back and forth take several weeks. It's not like a Twitter account where you tweet Bilam, "Will you come?" Just a second. Shh. No. Okay. 5 minutes later, "Will you come and I'll give you more money?" Or, "Will you come and I'll make it a nicer tweet?" I don't know how you could do that. Right? I'll Instagram it. It doesn't work that way. This is several weeks back and forth each time. All right? So, Balak sends these messengers with big and important entourage. What does Bilam do? Now, here's where it gets tricky. Take a look at Pasuk Chet. Right? Vayomar lehem. Linu po halayla. Linu po halayla. Vashivoti etchem davar kasher yidabar Adonai elai. What's Bilam's response? You guys sleep here. I'm going to go to sleep. And Hashem is going to tell me whether or not I can go. Zikne Midian evidently disappeared at this point. A lot of interesting parshanut about that, that they seem to give up on him right away. Which, of course, is a very bizarre question. Doesn't God know who these people are? Where else do you find God asking people questions that are like, duh, what? Ayeka. Right, where else? Famously in the next story. Right? Questions of that sort, where God has given you an opportunity to open up and do the right thing. So this is Bilam's answer. Now, is Bilam awake or asleep? The Rambam would claim 100% Bilam's asleep. It's all in a dream. So, what happens is Bilam tells God what's happened. Balak sent the message. There's this nation. It's covered the entire land. Can I come and curse them? Maybe I could beat them up. So what is Hashem's answer? Not allowed to go. Not allowed to go. Because after all, you're going to curse the people. So don't go, because I won't allow you to curse them, because they are an essentially blessed people. Okay. What's Bilam's response, by the way? And this is something we're not going to talk about, but you'll notice that Bilam is very loyal to God. It puts Bilam's character, the way he's developed later in the Midrash, kind of difficult. But right, you go back, God refuses to let me go. Okay. Now, at that point, by the way, let's think about the players. The players are Balak, Bilam, God, and the messengers. If you are Bilam at this point, what's your position?
Not
going. I asked the question. I was told no. It's no. If you're Balak, what's your position?
Trying to convince him to come.
Right. Because Balak, being a classic pagan, thinks that it's a question just of proper manipulation. The messengers are just the Nevach, the guys in between. That's the messengers are. The real question is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's his role in this? His position seems to be very clear, which is?
Don't go.
Which the N or the O, which part of those didn't you get? That's pretty clear. Okay, so let's see. Vayakumu sarim moav yevo, Balak v'emu me'im bilam alochim arav Yosef, Balak shloach sarim obim menichadim yele. Balak sends a bigger, a more important delegation. All right, again, this takes several weeks back and forth. Vayavo el bilam, vayemru lo, ko amar Balak v'zibor al natim anam yalochilai, ki chaber achav yedachav miyov v'chol asher tomar yelai. Say, I'll give you whatever you want. Hanakav ali et amazem. By the way, if you're Balak, this is exactly how you feel, because you think that you're about to get destroyed. You got destroyed by Sihon, then these guys destroyed Sihon, so these guys are certainly going to annihilate you. You got nothing to lose, so you can offer Bilam everything. But Yan Bilam Vayomer Alav Dei Valak, Yimtei Li Valak, Malo Betel Kesev Zahav, Lo Chal Avor Pi Adonai Elohai, Lasot Kana Udala. Look how loyal Bilam is. He says, I don't care what Balak sends, he could send anything he wants, I cannot go against God's word, he is Hashem, my God, I can't do anything against him. But I'll check again. Which is not unreasonable. Not unreasonable. You could petition God once, you could petition God twice. What was Moshe's most famous request of God?
Yes,
what? Moshe.
To enter Eretz Yisrael.
Come to Eretz Yisrael. How many times did he ask for that? According to the Midrash, 515. Right? Bat Chana. Pretty impressive. So to say a second time, can I go and make a lot of money? Do you mind if I accept this job? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Go ahead, take a look. What does it say? What? Go! Wait a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just said, don't go. Now he's saying, okay, go! Which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is petitionable. You can get him to change his mind. You can go, but you got to do what I tell you. Which is fine. And Bilam, by the way, does exactly that. He goes and, right, sees this. Now, this is where things get weirder. And by the way, when I say weirder, the entire parsha of Bilam is weird. The story of Bilam is weird. So, this is where it jumps from weird to weirder. It's not weirdest yet, but we're getting there. All right, so what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu just tell Bilam? You can go, but you got to be loyal to me. Okay, so Bilam gets up the next morning, and he saddles up his donkey to go with Sarai Moab. What happened? This is the weird part. Hashem gets angry because he's walking, as he's going. Wait a second, what did Hashem just say to Psukim earlier? You may go. And now Hashem's angry that he's going. Very strange. This is the fight, by the way, the first person, first place that Satan shows up. But here Satan's a verb, actually. Right? In other words, the Malach is showing up to push him aside. Which is the word satan, means sota, like a sota, push aside. Alright? So where is he? He's on his donkey. His two lads are with him, who are accompanying him. Sarei Moav are with him. And now what happens? You all know the story, right? Okay, he's on the donkey, and the malach is standing in front of the donkey. The donkey sees the malach. Bilam doesn't see the malach, so the donkey moves to the side. Bilam hits the donkey. Then pushes the donkey further, and then the donkey pushes up against a wall, crushing his leg or something, hits him. Then the third time, the donkey just sits down, and he hits him again. All right, we'll just review this outside. And then what happens? Let's see this part inside. Pasuk Chafchet, Vayiftach Adonai Pi Haton. God opens up the mouth of the donkey. Now I'm going to ask you critical question, which you always have to think about when you're reading narrative in Tanakh. And I'll give you a parallel from last week's parsha. Do we ever, Dr. Doolittle aside, do we ever have animals talking in Tanakh?
Nachash.
What?
Nachash.
The question is, what do we do with that whole thing? Animal story. The Rabbi says the whole thing's a mashal, yitzhara. It's very difficult.
Technically.
But technically, you do have a precedent. But post the first 11 chapters, where suddenly everything shifts into normal air. Do you ever have an animal talking? Well, you're right, you don't. The fact that there's no precedent for this means we have to think about what this means, that a donkey speaks. I'll give you a parallel to this from last week's parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe and Aaron, take the stick, and then do what? V'dibartem el hasela le'enehem. Gather the people and speak what? Good. Do you find any model anywhere where anybody's ever told, or everybody actually does, speak to an inanimate object? In Tanakh. You don't. It doesn't exist. You've got to wonder, well, what's going on here? Plus, another question is, well, why pick up the stick if you're supposed to talk to the rock? So simple pshat is v'dibartem el hasela means speak about the rock in front of them and hit it. Almost all the Rishonim agree that Moshe was supposed to hit the rock. Question is how many times? Question is what was he supposed to say? How was he supposed to, right? Right? Almost everybody doesn't follow in Rashi's footsteps, following the Midrash, that he was supposed to speak instead of hit. So same thing here. Do we ever find an animal talking? The Nahash story aside, and maybe it'd be an interesting piece here. We don't. So the question is, we have to think about what's going on, but you're going to see something bigger here. And the donkey says, what are you doing here? Me three times. For what? And by the way, if you have a donkey, and you're riding your donkey, and your donkey suddenly talks to you and says, why are you hitting me? What would your reaction be?
Jump up.
No. Whoa! Chaim, how'd you do that ventriloquism? Right? You would not exactly just continue the conversation. Imagine you're driving your car, and it's not a Google car. And in the middle, the car says, why are you pushing so hard on the brakes? You'd get freaked out. Okay? What does Bilam say back? You were teasing me. You're playing with me. If it wasn't a stick, if it was a sword, I would have killed you already. Very strange conversation, you must admit. Okay? And now, by the way, this donkey is quite poetic. Halo anochi atoncha shrachavta alai. Right, so some of the Rishonim say that he was actually bleeding in donkey talk, and Bilam understood what it meant. Right? Have I ever done anything to you this before? You know, clearly this is an unusual circumstance, right? And now Hashem allows Bilam to see what the donkey saw, which is the malach. And Bilam falls off, and he says, "What do you want?" And the malach says, "Just go and do exactly what I tell you." Okay, one last thing to show you, and we've got to talk about this. Take a look at Pasuk Lamed Vav. Bilam is finished with the donkey and finished with the malach, and Balak comes to greet him. And Balak says in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, I sent to you, why didn't you come? Right? And what did Bilam say? What should Bilam say back?
Hashem told me
that. Yes, and then? What else should he have said?
Not here.
I had this weird interaction with a malach on a donkey, and my donkey was refusing. I had car trouble, whatever you want to say, right? No mention of this. By the way, who was with Bilam when he was traveling?
No.
Sorry, Moav. Do they say anything to Balak? This weird thing. Balak's in, and then he was over there, and he was there, and he crushed his leg, and then he's talking to somebody, and his donkey's talking. Nobody seems to see this. And Bilam doesn't bring it up again. It's never mentioned. How do we understand what it means to see a malach? To talk to a malach? The malach talk to you? What is that? So the Rambam, and most of it agrees that in one form or another, the Rambam says this is a form of nivuah, a prophecy. It's prophecy. The Rambam therefore says that in the case of almost every person in history, if you see a malach, you have to be asleep at the time. Because the Rambam says, based on Bamidbar Yud Bet, that all Nevi'im have their Nevuah while asleep, with the exception of one person. Who's the one person?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe's defense against Aaron and Miriam, and he says, Im yeh Nevi'achem Adonai b'mara elav et vada b'chalom adaber bo. Lo chein avdi Moshe. And the Rambam makes it one of his 13 principles of faith, that Nevuat Moshe alone is the only one where you can have Nevuah while awake. That's why the Rambam famously says the three guys never showed up at Avram's tent. Everybody jumps down Rambam's throat for that. He says no three guys ever showed up at Avram's tent because it was Malachim, and therefore Avram was having a Nevuah, which means Sarah never laughed, by the way. Raises a lot of interesting questions. He says Yaakov never wrestled with the guy, so they jumped down his throat, so why is Yaakov limping? Right? Okay. But Bilam is somebody that we know 100% does not have interactions with HaKadosh Baruch Hu except when in a trance or asleep, correct? What does he say when they first come to his house?
Stay the night.
I'll find out what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him. So let's roll it back a little bit, and hopefully this thing will all fall into place. The first time when the guys come, Bilam says, see what happens. He goes to sleep. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and says, don't go. Okay. Second time, a few weeks later, bigger guys come. Bilam says, I'll check. Goes to sleep. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you may go, but go do what I tell you. Now I want you to stay with me here. Bilam is still in bed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still talking. He's still having the nevuah. What does he see in the nevuah? He sees himself going. And what does he see happening in this nevuah? He sees the donkey. and the donkey stops. And he hits the donkey. Then the donkey moves to the wall, and he hits the donkey. And the donkey lies down, and he hits the donkey. And then suddenly sees a malach. What does the malach tell him? Exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told him. You can go, but just do exactly what I tell you. So why is he having this added vision? Didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu already tell him, you can go, but do what I tell you? Let me ask you a question. How many times did the donkey stand still, or, you know?
Three
times. And after the three times, suddenly he sees everything. Okay, this is foreshadowing. You know what foreshadowing is? Right? It's foreshadowing. It's giving Bilam a glimpse into what's going to happen when he goes. Who's the donkey? The donkey is Bilam. Who's Bilam? Bilam is Balak. How does Balak respond every time that Bilam blesses Am Yisrael?
Anger.
It's anger. What finally happens at the end? Suddenly everybody sees what's going on. So Bilam three times tries to curse Am Yisrael. Three times is stopped by Hashem and comes out with a bracha. Three times he gets hit. And each time he turns around and said, what do you want from me? I told you, I can only do what Hashem says. Which is essentially what the donkey says. What do you want from me? There's a malach in the way. Don't you see it? So how come Bilam doesn't report this to Balak? I was stopped on the way by donkey.
Because
it's part of the nevuah. And why doesn't why don't the Sarei Moab see this? Why don't the Shnei Narim see this? There's nothing to see. The whole thing is part of the nevuah. So now go back to the first question. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to change his mind? He says, you may go, but you got to do what I tell you. And then when he goes, he gets angry that he goes. Because it's all part of this nevuah. I'm allowing you to go, you got to do what I say, but you should know that you have trouble waiting for you. And here's what it's going to look like. I'm going to give you a little sense of how it's going to play out. And Bilam comes, and exactly what he saw in that nevuah with the donkey is exactly what plays out for him.
That makes sense to Rashi's Peshat also. He said he wanted to go anyway. Even though he knew it was going to happen, he didn't interpret it the right way.
Right.
The whole nevuah.
Right, because he also wants to go. Because
right, he wanted to go.
Right. Exactly. Right. Different way of looking at the parsha. Pleasure to learn with you guys. Have a great Shabbos. Have a great summer. Shabbos. I commend them into your charge.
Okay, let's go to the final, guys.